I'm good. I'm recording already, so. I just pressed record right now, so.
Okay, and let's do this. Bigfoot Eruption presents Eli Watson. Would you like to tell us a little bit about you?
Well, thank you for having me. My name's Eli. I come from Los Angeles. I was born in... I don't want to get into that, but I was raised in Temecula, California. I moved up to Los Angeles about 3 years ago now. And I started Cryptid Campfire. It's a podcast about a year ago. And it's been really fun. The cryptozoology community has been something I've always been interested in. I can't even think of a time where I didn't know what Bigfoot was. It just seems like something that I always knew was like out there. Same with like the Loch Ness Monster. So it's always been something of interest to me. But I didn't start really getting into it. It was always kind of like a hobby on the side, but I decided to take it a little more seriously about a year ago when I started the podcast.
And what made you think to try a podcast?
It goes in with my co-host, Alex. We were both working at a movie theater together. I found out that he was also into cryptids, and we just ended up talking, and I said, randomly one day, I said, hey, maybe we should just start a podcast, because our talks seem interesting, and I'm sure other people might be interested to hear what we have to say, and it seems like people are.
And a year later, Alex is still with the team.
Yeah, Alex is still with us. Alex also does all the artwork for the podcast, so he did our logo, he did all the artwork on our website, he's working on some more stuff. Really, really talented guy.
Since we're talking about Alex, tell me how people can get his artwork. I think he offers that.
Yeah, you can find his artwork on his Instagram page at AlexDaikaiju. That's AlexDaikaiju. And I know he's got a Redbubble up, so he's selling stickers and everything like that. We hope to start doing prints for some of his cryptid art, hopefully in the new year. So that would be exciting.
That is exciting. Let's come back and talk about Cryptid Campfire soon, but could you tell the audience, what are cryptids?
Cryptids. So cryptozoology is really the study of hidden or unknown animals. So basically any sort of animal that you wouldn't think is there or isn't really supposed to be there. So Bigfoot is a perfect example of a cryptid because the Pacific Northwest doesn't seem like an area where a great ape might be living at, but still people report seeing it, and people get tracks, people record howls and knocks and whistles, and that is really the definition of a cryptid there, is just this animal that is hidden, and they're all over the world. I mean, the Loch Ness Monster is one of them. We have the Chupacabra in the Southwest, Puerto Rico area, you know.
So every animal that we know of now, at one time, was a cryptid before we knew about it.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, gorillas were cryptids before, But I guess this is the time to bring up the word cryptid is actually fairly new. It was coined in the 1950s. And gorillas were discovered in the 1930s. So it wasn't like people were calling gorillas cryptids because the word didn't exist yet. It was just folk tales, you know. Some ape out there in Africa that was kidnapping people, you know, and then, oh, snap, it's actually real. It's a gorilla, you know? And people are still discovering new stuff all the time. There's actually been a bunch of recent sightings about the Tasmanian tiger, 'cause that's supposedly extinct, but people keep seeing it. There's been a bunch of new sightings.
Wow, that is interesting. What's the farthest back in your research where cryptids are reported?
Mm-hmm. Say again?
Well, like Bigfoot, we could go back to recent history, but then there's Leif Erikson, who saw a monster man creature back in the 900s.
Yeah.
I guess as long back as people have been seeing Loch Ness creatures, basically this could go back to the beginning of time, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always, like, folklore added around cryptids. I mean, some Native American tribes believed Bigfoot have, like, supernatural powers, you know? The Loch Ness Monster is another one that is really steeped in a lot of lore, a lot of religious lore. You know, there's, I can't think of his name, some sort of saint. It's supposedly the first sighting of the Loch Ness Monster, but he's able to repel it using the cross, which I don't know if a real animal would be repelled by, you know, a human symbol.
So yeah, I think it would have to be somehow demon related to have fear of that,
right? You know, and I'm not trying to say, you know, the term cryptid and cryptozoology really focuses on real animals and not so much the paranormal side, because I think that would fall under the category of Fortean if you really want to go into that. But because that really kind of encompasses everything: paranormal, supernatural, cryptozoology, ufology, and it really encompasses everything. Yeah. So.
Could you say that again? The word.
Fortean. So.
Okay.
Fortean.
Well, that is interesting. That is so interesting because, as we listen into what the Bigfoot community is sharing with new technology online, you hear the word cryptid a lot, and that's good to differentiate. I think it's a term, cryptid, we just have adopted.
You know, and that's one of the things, too. It's such a tricky thing because these are unknown animals. Like, the number one thing I hear all the time is that Mothman is a cryptid, but, I mean, are we really sure it's a cryptid? Are we sure that it's even an animal? Because Mothman, to me, based on everything I've read and researched, is more of a paranormal entity, in which case it wouldn't be a cryptid, but everyone calls it a cryptid. So, I mean, and that's, you know, a difficult thing to juggle between keeping things clearly defined, but also not raining on everyone's parade, I guess, you know, because...
Yeah.
You don't want to be the one guy at the dinner table who's like, well, actually, Mothman isn't a cryptid. And it's like, all right, loser. But,
but. Yeah, and the community does come down on its own. Even in the short time frame that I've been doing what I've been doing, which is a Bigfoot website, I've experienced it some. But I'm researching. I'm looking.
No, yeah.
I'm not really a Bigfoot hunter. I'm not a Bigfoot expert at all. And I'm amazed at those that are. And the last thing I want is criticism. All I'm doing is trying. Yeah. I want to learn. I want to connect the dots.
Yeah. Like Cliff Berrickman says, and he was on Finding Bigfoot, he says that there are no Bigfoot experts. It's a little difficult to be an expert in something that we don't have like a live specimen of or don't have any real samples of. So.
Yes. As much evidence as there is, it's amazing. It's like the more we learn, the less we know.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it so interesting. And
Yeah.
like Cliff Breckman also says, if he never finds Bigfoot, he's enjoying this phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you tempted at all to do your podcast just on Bigfoot?
We did an 8-episode series on Bigfoot. And it's crazy. After, I mean, what is that? Almost 8 hours of just straight Bigfoot. We really only scratched the surface. I mean, we didn't even talk about the Ape Canyon incident. And that's just like one of those big things that I really want to cover. I mean, of course, we're going to revisit Bigfoot in the future, but.
Yes, I listened to that. I was learning more about your podcast, and of course, I listened to the Bigfoot episodes first. And it was interesting. I noticed that some of your team, they were ready to be done with Bigfoot for a while.
Yeah. I don't think they're I don't think they love Bigfoot as much as I do. So I know Alex's favorite cryptid is the Yeti, which is Bigfoot related. And then Jasmine, our other co-host, her favorite is the Thunderbird. So not even remotely similar to Bigfoot in any way, but
And you have a fourth member now, don't you?
yeah, that's my good friend Stefan Myers, and he's fun to have on there 'cause he really didn't know that much about cryptozoology. I don't even know if that's something he's really into, but he has fun researching it, and he thinks, I mean, he's what you want in terms of his openness to it. Like, he didn't have a preconceived notion of what Bigfoot was or whether or not Bigfoot was real or not. He just approached it with an open mind. And he's, you know, and that's really like such an awesome thing to have, and it's very difficult to find in this field, you know, people with open minds, because everyone comes in with their notions of what Bigfoot is and, you know, what cryptids are and whether or not something's real, and he's just there kind of absorbing all the information and kind of sifting through it and trying to figure out what makes sense, which is really what we're all trying to do. That's
That does
something,
sound nice.
yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult process. I mean, there's a lot of hoaxes, there's a lot of people spreading disinformation, I guess, if you will. Not trying to allude to any sort of conspiracy, but there's just some people are more reliable than others. So.
Now, he didn't join your team right away. He joined you during the Bigfoot Mountain
Yeah.
adventure, right at that time, and joined you. What was the deciding factor on approaching him?
How do I say this? So Jasmine wanted to, in a way, focus more on her acting career. You know, she was spending a lot of time doing the podcast. Not that she doesn't enjoy it, 'cause she loves doing the podcast, but she wants to be an actress, you know? So, and I mean, we're all based out of Los Angeles. Stefan also wants to be an actor. So it kind of worked out perfectly that they're both doing this rotating third chair. So me and Alex do every episode, and they rotate out. But it gives them time to focus on their acting careers while at the same time indulging their itch, I guess, if you will, to look into Bigfoot and aliens and, you know, fun stuff like that.
I love that they have a dream, and yet as they're pursuing it, they're able to do this podcast with you.
Mm-hmm.
So having a fourth person, considering what he brings to the table, is working out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good dude. And we're starting to do those tall tales. I'm not sure when this interview is going to get released, but as we're recording it today, we released our first kind of like side episode. It's just me and Stefan, and we're talking about the Bloop, but we're going to do a couple more of those, and we're having Stefan do all of those so that me and Alex can get a break. So,
because smart.
We do every episode. We've done almost 60 episodes nonstop, and that's quite a few. So it's nice to kind of get a break, but hopefully, you know, it'll build up Stefan's fan base a little bit more too.
Okay, that's smart. I like strategy.
Thank you.
And there's no need to burn out your team members.
Yeah.
So if I'm ever doing a Bigfoot movie, I know who to come to. I will keep them in mind.
Right on.
So, cryptids all the way, when you were back in the day working at the theater, talking about a podcast, cryptids, it captures more than just Bigfoot. And as you're finding, the Bigfoot category is strangely endless in what the different directions it can go. There's different categories of Bigfoot. There's Bigfoot that have different moods than others. Why are some nice to people and some aren't, you know, based on what people are saying? So, tell me, if Finding Bigfoot, the TV show, was going to do a reboot, sounds like you found your open-minded skeptic. Tell me, who's the Matt Moneymaker in your group? Who's the Cliff?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, I guess...
Yeah, Finding Bigfoot is starting over, and it's the four of you.
Yeah.
Who portrays which role?
So, I guess I would be the Matt Moneymaker. mm-hmm. Because, you know, Matt Moneymaker started the BFRO, which is the Bigfoot Researchers Organization, and that's... I mean, they were the first online database for Bigfoot research online, and the kind of the first people to really, actually, that's wrong. They're not the first people to take sightings seriously, but the first people to kind of catalog them online, which is pretty remarkable. So I guess because I created the website and I'm kind of editing every episode, I would be the Matt Moneymaker. Which I guess Alex...
That makes him Cliff Brackman, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think Alex is a little wackier than Cliff, but...
The Animal Planet went to Matt Moneymaker.
Yeah.
And then they started assembling the team. And in this case, you started this podcast. And then the team members, you started to find them.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves, so who's your Bigfoot caller? The professional Bigfoot caller, James Bobo Fay.
Oh, that's Stefan Myers. Stefan all the way. You never really know what's going to come out of Stefan's mouth. And he's also the most mysterious one on the podcast. I don't know if he's reluctant to share any personal information or... He just doesn't for whatever reason, but he's definitely the most mysterious. He's also the tallest in the group, and I know Bobo's the tallest for sure. I would also say Stefan's kind of the coolest one in the group. He's definitely, I don't know, if you saw him walking past you on the street, you would be like, hey, that's a cool guy. Kind of like you think when you see Bobo. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. So that leaves your Phoenix.
Yeah, I guess Jasmine is the most skeptical out of all of us. So,
Okay.
yeah, I mean, Jasmine,
Well, sounds like you make a good team.
yeah, Jasmine's awesome. So, I mean, when we all get together, it's so much fun because it's just a whole balance of everything, you know. I guess try to keep everything defined as much as I can. Alex will come in with the crazy conspiracy theory, and Jasmine will kind of say everything is BS, and it kind of all evens out. So.
Okay, I like that. So when I think of a Mount Rushmore of cryptids, I think you've already shown the world how you rank your cryptids, your favorites. Your t-shirt has them.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
The t-shirt?
Tell us about who made the cut. Yes, tell us how those certain cryptids made the cut to be on your t-shirt, the official Cryptid Campfire t-shirt.
Man. That's when I wish Alex was here because well, obviously Bigfoot number one. Everyone loves Bigfoot, so you have to go with the Bigfoot. And he's right there, front and center. I think Alex chose. Let's see, what else we got here? We got the Chupacabra sitting right next to Bigfoot because, I mean, we really went with the most popular ones. I mean, Mothman's on
Yeah.
there, Jersey Devil, Flatwoods. We got a jackalope in the corner with the Loch Ness
Right, okay.
Monster in the back. I mean, we didn't really go with anything that was too unheard of. I mean, it's surprising. I mean, if you don't really come from Jersey, you haven't really heard of the Jersey Devil unless you're into cryptids. So,
Right. What's the future hold?
for a cryptid campfire,
Yes.
the future holds so many things.
So
I'm really.
just keep on keeping on, huh?
Oh yeah. And once we get into the new year, I think things are going to be really awesome. We're going to be coming out with some awesome content. We're working on doing interviews of our own. We already have some exciting people lined up that I'm not going to share right now.
Sure.
Because we want it to be a surprise. But yeah, I just have to say.
You did say the cryptid community has opened their arms up to you.
Open their arms up to us or to me? Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we've only had a couple reviews that told us that we suck. And I mean, there's
Oh.
nothing you can really do about those people. I mean, there's that rule of success that 20% of people aren't gonna like you just because you're you. And there's nothing you can really do about that. But I mean, when I was at the Oregon Bigfoot Festival in August of this year, that was, 'cause the internet can get real tiring. I'm gonna tell you right now, the online community can be really toxic, and I think that just goes for the internet in general. But when I was there in person, I mean, I felt acceptance from everybody. I mean, I didn't feel anything negative from anybody. I mean, it was just, it gave me hope, I guess, 'cause up until that point, I had only been online. I mean, in Los Angeles, there's really not a big cryptid community whatsoever. It's just not the place for it. So it was just, I'm excited because I'm going to the Bigfoot Festival again next year. I'm trying to go to CryptidCon because I didn't get to go last year. But I mean, and people were actually bummed that we didn't go to CryptidCon. So,
Oh, that's nice.
you know. So,
Compliment.
It's really, the people who are into cryptids seem to be really nice and they're really accepting. And so, I mean, we're all just
Yeah.
trying to have a good time talking about Bigfoot and whatnot, so.
Right. It seems like that is one of your strategies, is to just have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, and people respect that and people see that and people want to join in. You know, you don't want to hang around someone who's not having a good time.
Right.
And so if people see that you're having fun, well, I mean, Everyone, it's a natural human instinct, I guess.
Did you ever think you'd be doing something that could put you on that platform to be somebody to so many?
You know, I didn't even think about it until this point. Until now that I'm here and I kind of realize that even though my platform is small, that I am somebody's favorite podcaster to some people. And that's like really weird to me. I live in Los Angeles. I mean, I meet celebrities on a semi-regular basis and some are nicer than others, you know, and so I try to be what I wish some people were to me. You know, I try to be nice, I try to be kind to everybody that I talk to online. You know, right. Even if you come at me crazy, I'm gonna try to mediate things, try to keep everything on a calmer level. But I don't know. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think being a genuine person will go a long way. When I met you at the Oregon Bigfoot Festival, I noticed that. Very approachable. I felt like I was at everyone's mercy. It's not easy to put yourself out there and to pay for a booth and to hope people don't think you're just pathetic. Because, you know, you're putting yourself out there to be there for others. In our case, trying to help people just find locations of all the different Bigfoot-themed locations that there are. And now there are people that offer Bigfoot-themed services, people. So now we can put people on the website. So it's become about people and people sharing and networking and getting along and sharing and giving credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
You are the very first Bigfoot-related person in the California section of Bigfoot Eruption.
Yeah. I mean, it's Southern California. It's a desert, and it's not the terrain where Bigfoot lives at all. So I think I'm more likely to see a chupacabra out here than I am to see a Bigfoot. So.
Keep watching for those roadkill. Yeah. Once in a while, they get ran over.
But, it's all about getting yourself out there and just, you know, you have to care about what people think only to a certain extent. You know, if you try to make everybody happy, it's not going to work. You can't do it.
Uh-huh.
And so you just kind of have to do, you kind of have to do you, and people are going to see that and people are going to be drawn to it. I mean, the number one thing besides like people having fun is people are attracted to people who are uniquely themselves. I mean, that's why we remember David Bowie. I mean, there's no one else out there like David Bowie, you know, so. Uh-huh. I mean, that's why we remember anybody who's famous, really, is because they're just so uniquely themselves. And that's what it's all about, I guess.